Good evening, workshoppers. I know we've had a couple of rough weeks and some missed episodes and some delayed episodes and all that, but here we are. It's Wednesday. Well, I guess if you're listening to this on YouTube or iTunes, it might not be a Wednesday. It was being recorded on a Wednesday, so it still works, I guess, in my mind. And your mind too, if you want it to be. But anyways, yeah, it's actually back on schedule. I have a Wednesday evening free, and things are not completely catching on fire, so we're going through and actually recording an episode on time for the first time in, 6 weeks? I think it's been like 6 weeks since we... Oh, actually, no, because the last episode wasn't even on a Wednesday. It was like on a Thursday. So this is going on like, what, almost like 2 months now of actually recording on a Wednesday, I think? Longshot would know. He's the official record keeper of the show. But yeah, this will be episode 169, Giggity. I should just title it Giggity, but season 18, Where Art Thou? Because going through and just jumping into it, we now know that season 17 will be ending on August 18th. So, you know, as of the recording of this episode, you have just a little over a week and a half left to finish up your season, whatever your seasonal goals may be, whatever your seasonal journey is. I know for myself, I've been super lazy, you know, the last couple of weeks. The only thing standing between me and the Galaxy Wings is a single conquest. And I'm pretty sure that I have 6 sets together, so I just need to go through and finish a couple of little off items on my Witch Doctor, and then I'm done, you know. But like I said, just being lazy, definitely just being lazy. And of course, normally when we get the season end date announcements, we also get a season start announcement. But not this time. Not this time. It's a little bit strange. We did, like, as we talked about on the previous episode, we did have, you know, the patch 2.6.6 PTR. And it was just the 1 week, kind of like almost like to the hour, that they went through and they pulled the PTR servers down after the week of testing was finished. And there was a couple of comments that they had made, that Brandy Nevalistus had made on the PTR forums, you know, discussing that there might still be some like little tweaks here and there for some of, like, maybe not so much the functionality, but at least the visual representation, like buff icons and such for some of the abilities, the new items that were updated for this patch. So it could just be that they're maybe doing a little bit of internal testing. They got all the data that they needed, at least for the range of abilities and things of that nature, but not completely finished with everything. That's my only thought as to why they haven't yet announced the actual start date for season 18. Though we know it's going to be coming sometime soon. Usually, like, if it were to end on Sunday the 18th, the last couple of seasons it would go through and be that we'd have the seasons drop then on August 23rd, the following Friday. With it getting, you know, closer and closer, ticking down to that time frame, it's still a possibility, but it's looking like it might instead be August 30th, the week after, or potentially even, you know, like September 6th. Though I can't remember the last time that we've actually had, like, 3 weeks in between the end of a season and the start of one. I think, like, the most has been 2 weeks, like, the last couple of years. So it'd be strange for them to go through and, you know, see them do that. But we're just kind of left waiting. We've got our end, need our beginning, need to know when's it happening. When are we gonna get the patch drop? You know, because that could be one of the other ones that, you know, they go through and they announce, say that they do announce it's gonna be a little bit delayed and we get it on August 30th. Well, are we gonna get the patch on the 20th or the 27th? If they drop the patch on the 27th, that would be neat and cruel. That, you know, that's the launch of WoW Classic, so obviously there's going to be a lot of competition there, because, you know, a lot of people that play Diablo play a lot of other Blizzard games. It's just, you know, the part of being a Blizzard gamer is that there's a lot of overlap. You know, there are, of course, a lot of Diablo players as well that, you know, they're just Diablo players. They really don't care about any of the other games. But I want to say that there probably will be a decent amount of overlap for those wanting to go through, jump back in, and give WoW Classic a shot. And, you know, August 27th also just happens to be my birthday. So that would be cool, like a nice little birthday gift to have the patch drop on the 27th. You know, thank you in advance, Blizzard, if you would be so kind. But the WoW team has already gotten me my birthday gift with the Classic servers. So, you know, you don't have to. If you know, you can put it out earlier, that's fine. Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing what they do and if there will be any last minute changes. You know, there was some things that they feel that the patch didn't fully address. You know, there was the huge, you know, article or, you know, listing of issues from the Barbarian community of things that they would like to see done, and some of the changes that they made for 2.66 doesn't quite address a lot of the issues that they have with the class, either with their high-end pushing or even just like their T16 farming. Though I don't feel as if anything of that nature could be addressed within that time frame. They're just going to go and make little tweaks here and there. I do wonder if they're going to continue to be happy with how Flavor of Time worked out and just how meta-breaking that is, especially at the higher end. Of the spectrum for the group play. And then the other one that was actually kind of surprising was the Stone Gauntlets. And this is one that I saw SVR going through and doing some like theory crafting and experimenting with. And it seems that you would think that detriment of having the movement and attack speed decreases would be like a huge turnoff, and who would ever want to use these? Well, it seems that if your class has some innate benefit that prevents you from being CC'd, such as, you know, Wrath of the Berserker or Demon Hunter's Vengeance form, you're immune to the detriment. You just continue to gain that stacking armor buff that will help greatly increase your survivability. Now, I'm not sure, you know, where it will go through. Is that going to, you know, unseat any survivability items? It should definitely, for a lot of lawn builds, get put in there for those that were using, say, St. Andrews instead. It will definitely be a nice, easy include into those places, and or, you know, if you're cubing a like survivability item, that could easily go through and take its place, depending upon how it goes through and sizes up with the rest of it. But yeah, there are some little interesting tweaks and things that, you know, I enjoy the fact that there's only like that one week season of the 1 week of the PTR testing or the seasonal testing, just because it makes the beginning of the season have a lot of question marks. Like, what is going to be the best? Is this going to like upseat like this particular build? Is there going to be a bigger, faster way of going through and saying, you know, like farming T16, like Necromancer sage farming is going to be a thing now. It's a beautiful day. I remember from a couple of seasons ago, I was doing some sage farming with a pestilence build, but, you know, I was having to sit at around torment 9 in order to go through and do death breath farming. Not as big now, just with the insane drop rates in torment 16 itself, but for those instances that you would like to have the option. Like, I remember this past season, a friend of mine was playing a barbarian, and every time that we did the vault, he would equip the sage's set. And like I think it was two vaults in a row, we got the gelatinous sires. And he ended up walking away with like 400 death's breaths because of it. And it was just, he was like, and this was very early on in the season, you know, when we were actually going through and crafting, and now I'm sitting on like 1,000 death's breaths and not anything to do with it. But it's very powerful of going through and trying to get you set up in that early season period. It was just something that wasn't available to necromancers, you know, to take advantage of at the most efficient, you know, farming times, because you couldn't handle, like back in the day, you couldn't do like torment 12, torment 13, you know, with the sage's set, because you had to break your 6-piece. Now, you don't. So there's that. Dredd and I spoke about this a little bit on the last episode, but I really appreciate the fact that this patch was a lot more dedicated to Just some quality of life things, making like the Torment 16, the regular grind and rifts and such easier. They didn't really touch anything at the higher end besides, like, say, the Flavor of Time, and maybe like Squirt's Necklace for some like kind of like glass cannon builds. But it's good that they're focusing on things other than just like that almighty quest for the GR150 and making those earlier stages or those like kind of more casual stages of play better. Because now they're diversifying it even more, you know, let's say like, hey, now you've got even more like crazy wacky things that you can do to clear, you know, regular rifts on Torment 16 in 2 minutes. Which was one of the fun things in Diablo 2, and something that, for the most part, Diablo 3 had shifted away from for a very long time. It was just the fact that, like, the in-game in Diablo 2 wasn't hard. You know, how much, you know, that first push, like, maybe of your group soloing, or your group soloing, you soloing or playing through in a group through that, trying to get through hell, could be difficult, it could be a pain, especially back in the early days before like a lot of like the big you know, big guide communities and such, like DiabloII.net and such, were around and common, getting the information out there, and people had like kind of like finalized everything for the Diablo 2, like here's the most efficient routes, here's the most efficient way of grinding XP or getting items. Great, like Pendle skin runs when those were a thing before that got nerfed. You know, it was Diablo 2 in game was more about like how many times can I run Chaos Sanctuary, you know, in a day so that way I can try to get 99, or you know, what crazy kooky build can I use to like clear through hell, or you know, like what type of dumb build can I use to do Uber Tristram, you know, or kill Bale, you know, and all this other such. One of my favorite article series on DiabloII.net, and a lot of this stuff unfortunately like doesn't like return properly, and so I have to go through and see if maybe the Internet Wayback Machine has copies of the articles. But it was this guy that wrote like kind of like these self-imposed hardcore challenges. Like the pacifist necromancer, he would fear and blind mobs and then keep them walled off with basically like bone wall cages and progress his way from Act 1 all the way to Bale. And he would only kill the mobs that specifically he had to kill. So, you know, Andariel, Duriel, Mephisto, Diablo, Bale. Neelothok and a couple others, you know, in order to actually like progress the story. I don't remember whether he actually killed everything like Bloodraven, you know, to complete all of the quests, or if he was just going to play through the entirety of the game. And he managed to do it. Like, so he killed like 6 creatures throughout the entire game, you know, playing through hell. And another one that he had was like a caster barbarian, where he equipped the Trangol set back when it was Trangles and not Traggles, and because it gave Firewall and Meteor, and so he ran around as a barbarian, stunning, doing the stun shout while things were in like 5 different firewalls in order to just slowly burn them down. And he managed to beat hell on that as well. And so it was just like all of these things where people were making self-imposed challenges to make the game interesting. Because it wasn't hard. It wasn't really challenging. The first couple of playthroughs were, but then once you got the strive of it, or say you ran a sorceress, you know, to go through and find all of your gear in order to, like, then equip out a paladin and get an enigma, and then you're set. You then farm the gear out for anything else that you wanted to play in the game, and it was about what could I do to beat the game with, not what was the most efficient thing. What was, like, the least efficient thing that I could actually do it? And we're now starting to see that in Diablo 3. We've got, like, I think we're nearing 300 different groups, 4-man groups that have cleared Greater Rift 150. And, you know, I didn't look at it. I know that we've had quite a few, or I should say, like, a couple of 3-man groups that have cleared, you know, Greater Rift 150. Eventually, we're going to have a 2-man group that will go through and clear 150. At some point, it's got to happen. We'll have progressive power creep, as long as they continue to go through and give us updates. And so a lot of people just like aren't, I guess, really focused on that as much, just as there was so many people that played Diablo 2 that never hit level 99. It's one of those ones where it's like you have like kind of like a set goal. And I think now that everything is like capable of clearing Greater Rift 100, you've seen a lot more people that are just more excited or happy with the game that, hey, I can play my Whirlwind Barbarian and clear a GR 100. You know, I'm not the fastest, you know, clear that's out there. You know, I'm not even making like the top 1,000 on the leaderboards, but I did it and I had fun because this is my build. And people are excited and happy about that. And I wonder if that's something that they're going to take into Diablo 4, Diablo next. Are they going to develop some sort of like super hard, like infinite grind, like what the GR system, you know, kind of was intended to be? Or are they going to take it more back to Diablo 2, where you have a flat difficulty level, and whereas at the beginning it might be very hard, but once you kind of have gotten yourself geared out, and you have that hell level gear, that then it, you know, it becomes a lot easier until the point where you can kind of farm it with your eyes closed. You know, there was a Reddit post today that was like, what was your favorite part of each of the Diablo games? And I think that was one of those ones that people are going to have to kind of like take and ask themselves, you know, specifically, what is it that they want from a Diablo game? Do you want that sense of progression with like the infinitely scaling difficulty, but that creates a super focus on the most powerful, most efficient, and, you know, that most powerful, most efficient builds, and that there's only room for like one at the top? Or are you more inclined to like, well, I'll be fine with like a flat difficulty system that will eventually become easy? There's a lot of things to consider, and I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I'm just throwing that question out there because I don't know which one's right, and I personally don't even know which one I would prefer. If I'm just being honest. Maybe something kind of like a mix of the two, you know, kind of like, Mythic Dungeons in World of Warcraft. You know, I don't actually know the way that system works, if they do have a hard limit, you know, just, you know, but it's like one of those ones where it's like, the achievement stop is as soon as you clear like Mythic 15 plus. You know, and then you get all of your achievements and stuff like that. And if you want to go higher, well, then, you know, like, congratulations. If it's anything like that, you know, or if there's like a hard cap where you can't go above 25 or, you know, something along those lines. But, you know, just something where it's like maybe like a super, super difficult system that you can eventually climb up, you know, incomplete, that, I don't know, maybe might not ever be like super easy. I guess what the original intent for Inferno was when that launched, though, it was, you know, maybe that one was just like scaled too difficult. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't doable by melee classes until they went through and started nerfing things. It was too hard. And also one of the worst things for that was is just the way that they also had the reward system calibrated. That in order for a melee class to actually clear past, say, Act 2 Torment, you needed gear from Act 3 and Act 4. That was impossible for you to get to, so that created, you know, I did the same thing that a lot of people did, you know, back in the day. So I rolled a wizard in order to go through and start farming Act 3, Act 4, to try and get gear for, at the time my main was a monk, to make it, you know, able to actually go through and, like, progress slightly through Act 2. I don't think that I ever actually even beat Act 2 on my monk until after it had been nerfed. It was too much. I am glad, though, and I've said this, I think I've said this like a podcast very recently, I'm still happy of my achievement that I managed to beat Torment Diablo before they nerfed Torment, but after they nerfed Energy Armor. You know, so I got that little kill in there right in between when this was actually like, I can't cheese it, it's actually difficult, you know. But anyways, that came from talking about a season 18 start date, and we're talking about Diablo 2 and Torment and stuff. So, you know, moving on. We have the season 17 end date. We don't know when season 18 is starting, but you can probably expect it sometime between August 23rd, August 30th, or September 6th. And that's that September 6th is like a long shot. Not to be confused with long shot in chat. But yeah, it's probably the 23rd or the 30th, or you're most likely your two dates from there. And we'll probably, you know a little bit more information. Who knows, maybe even by the time I actually get this episode uploaded, or by next week. We'll see. And then there hasn't really been too much else. You know, people are still kind of like digesting, you know, all of the information that we learned from the PTR, trying to put their heads around, well, what's going to be the best, and doing some theory crafting when we don't actually have access to the game. But there was an interesting thing that got posted last week, and of course, interesting to me. I hope that it's interesting to you. I've covered it a couple of times, is that new Diablo art book that they announced at the beginning of the year. Well, this past week, they made some more updates to it. One of the big ones is, of course, is they moved back the release date from October 31st, which would be the day before BlizzCon, to November 3rd, the day after BlizzCon. And now, even though this is a book that is, you know, about the Diablo franchise, not just Diablo 3, the only artwork that we've seen from it has been Diablo 3. I don't think that they're really going to risk leaking anything, you know, for what's going on in the future. So no Diablo 4, no Diablo Next. Maybe a little bit of Diablo Immortal. But, you know, I do expect that we might have a little bit of a hint of Diablo Immortal, but mostly a look back at, you know, Diablo 1, 2, and 3. And some of the things that they've added is they've taken more scans to give an idea of what the book itself is going to look like. And so we've got, you know, more of these pictures. And these are things that we've actually, some of it is like these little like armor designs that you see on the screen right now. As well as some of like the monk concepts, you know, or even just like this barbarian concept itself. You know, we've seen before. Though, like, on the Barbarian, you also have, like, some of those, I believe, Chris Metzen's concept art of a Barbarian that you can see down there in the bottom left, the black and white drawing. And so, you know, it is one of those ones where it's going to be, it's going to be a nice little treat of a kind of like a story through, you know, all the years of development of the game, everything that you get. You know, everything that kind of like brought them there. I hope that it goes into like their thoughts behind the actual concept design, or even if you're looking at the concept design of the characters in Diablo 3, you know, where they decided to go with this. You know, this is what we wanted to do as a take to differentiate, you know, a wizard from a sorceress, you know, or this is our version of a necromancer and why we decided to go in, you know, on this particular aesthetic or what have you. But again, you know, we've only seen stuff from Diablo 3 in these, like, previews. We're still waiting to see if they're going to go through and announce, you know, or at least show anything else. And, you know, like I've talked about, you know, previously, the other big one is that, like, the forward and introduction are done by Brom and Chris Metzen. So that's going to be, like, amazing. You know, Metzen is one of the ones that helped create and forge the whole world of Diablo itself. He's gotten a lot of flack, you know, over the, like, the direction of the story of Diablo 3. But a lot of people will go through and talk about the things that they liked about Diablo or Diablo 2. And it's like, Metzen wrote that. You know, so it's just... Who knows? But, you know, he's one of the ones that really helped to create the world and the story and the lore behind the Diablo games. especially like the story in Diablo 2, where he was the exclusive writer of all of the cinematics, you know, so the majority of the story in between the game itself. There's a little bit of disconnect that was there between Blizzard North and how they were developing the story within the game, and then they kind of apparently had like the cutscenes like dropped on them, and they had to adapt things to that because they didn't know the direction that it was going. Metsen is kind of like the father of like the story and like the whole core concepts in Diablo, and so anything that he has to say about the franchise, I absolutely love to hear more and more about the thoughts of the guy that created it all. And Diablo Immortal and Diablo 4, Diablo Next, are going to be the first Diablo games that are created that have like no input from him, unless they're bringing him in, you know, to consult or something like that. But this will be kind of like the first time that you've got a story handled by like no one from the original concept or story team. It's all new, all new territory that they're going to be going with. And where will they take it? Where will they go? Although I do think that Immortal is going to use concepts from the supposedly scrapped story of Diablo 3. Because when they were first talking about Diablo 3, they were talking a lot about the World Stone, its destruction, Bale's corruption of it and the effects that that would have on Sanctuary, and it's not truly gone. And so a lot of those little things in Immortal taking place so close to Diablo 2 itself, and how its story is focused around those corrupted shards of the World Stone, it makes me think that, Immortal might be almost like an adapted script of what the original like first draft for Diablo 3 might have been. And once Blizzard gets around to actually start talking about Immortal at all, those are some questions that I'm going to ask. So I hope that they have some people on hand at BlizzCon that I can go and like pick their brain and get more, not just, of course, more backstory about like the game and the setting itself, but where they got, there on the trip of developing this game, where they're taking the franchise. This is not just about the game itself, it's like the this is kind of like a continuation of the franchise in general. Care about the mobile title or not, it's going to add lore and it's going to help flesh out the world of Sanctuary itself. And for that, I will definitely give it a try. From there, haven't really had too many other big news items this week. We're kind of like in a little bit of a lull while we wait for season 18 itself to come out, and then we can go and get our hands on everything and can like really start digging in, testing out stuff. And as we go through and get closer, to that actual season itself, we'll go over the conquests, the Hadrix gifts and such. I know Leviathan actually already has a video guide up for season 18, so that way exactly what you're going to be getting as far as like the Hadrix gifts, how you want to go through and start off. Demon Hunters are starting with Marauders, and that's always been one of my favorite sets, so that one's always calls to me. But Necromancers are starting off, I believe, with Pestilence, and it's been far too long since I've really been able to have a chance to play Pestilence, and so I might give that a shot. I don't know. I still haven't figured out where I'm going, as far as the season goes. But until then, I do actually have a couple of emails that I like to go through and read here. I do, of course, first off, I have to acknowledge Watson for going through, and every single time that any type of like Diablo-related news breaks, I get an email from Watson. I think the only thing that he hasn't emailed me was like that Diablo art book update, but that's just because, it's like part of my nightly ritual. Every night before I go to bed, I Google Diablo Immortal, Diablo 4, Diablo Netflix, and the Diablo art book, and I look and see if there's any type of updates on any of those things, just to see that, is there something that someone missed? Because I don't even know how long that that art book like update had been there. Because it's been a couple of days, so it's like that those art book updates were between like Tuesday and Friday of last week. When I checked it, so those are like the little things. So definitely, thank you for that, Watson. But yeah, Andrews sent in an email. Kind of sad that you had to run the last episode solo, but I hope this 9 harvester will cheer you up. It's a sacred harvester, and I'll be showing that in the items of the week. The moment it was reforged, it reminded me of you. P.S. New season gonna have some pretty interesting thing. Magic Bubble's gonna be doing something cool. And thank you for that, Andrews. And, you know, the whole thing about, like, the solo episodes, it has sucked because it's created some scheduling issues and, like, even a missed episode. And for that, again, I am sorry, but it's kind of like the whole solo thing. It's mostly my choice. Part of it is just, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm lazy as far as going through and finding a co-host. But it's something that is just, you know, for me at the moment, you know, it's something that I'm fine with, you know, I'm comfortable with, you know, it's my own little project. And it's, you know, the little thing that, you know, I'm still sitting there. Waving the little Westmarch Workshop banner. So it's something that I enjoy going through and doing. And, you know, I'm not against going through and finding a co-host. I just have to, you know, find someone that kind of matches, you know, personality, scheduling, and all the other types of stuff. So I'm in no hurry. You know, I'm in no hurry. But I appreciate the sympathies. The next email here, this one comes from longtime listener, Sergeant Psycho. Haven't heard from him in a while. And he writes, "Sup, fella? It's been a long while. Finally got some weird technical issues with my computer cleared up. In general, though, I'm doing well in Southwest March. I saw an interstate sign for Kingsport weekend. Interesting. It's fun to teach newbie Iron Wolves how to use health globes, but do you think that spending time in the desolate sands would get me used to the heat? Yeesh. Anyway, I finally got back into the game after a few months off, and it was like a brand new game. I tested out my non-season Unhallowed Essence Demon Hunter and blew through GR-103, when I used to have to push through. I thought I'd give the season a try since it was a new stash tab that was available. That was interesting. Up to Guardian in a week of actual playing. Insane. I think the Conquests were an easy set this time around, especially with the lawn buff for the no-set GR-45. I've been dying for a good rapid-fire build. My attempt to do the Nats set on GR-55 was the weirdest set I have ever put together. Nats is definitely just a weird one in general. I suck at the strafe build, but I saw that the CDR from Nats refers to any spender. I can spam the heck out of some multi-shot. So it was a Nat 6 M2 with the pet belt Yangs and Deadmans for a first try of that combination. The obligatory hate for set dungeons, they're never getting any better. I love the Corpse Lance Necro before, so I leveled a Necro for the other two sets, you know, for the 6 sets of GR-55 Conquest. I know Pestilence and Trags can play similarly, so what could go wrong? How about not getting any of them to drop? I saved a Hadrig's gift for my Demon Hunter, so I started with Anarius. It was an interesting learning experience. Then learning the Rathma set. Interesting mechanic to keep the skeletal mages up in max essence, but I managed to make it on the first try. Granted, all of this is with practice and the standard rifts first. Now, what's blowing my mind is that I'm just leveling gems up because OCD, and I'm pushing GR-99s or 100s and speedrunning 75s and gear that's by no means optimized pre-Paragon 800 and only one minimum level augment. Talk about some motherfucking power creep. That's just incredible. But with all that said, I still listen on YouTube during my absence. I hope there'll be some news to talk about as the time rolls on. New season looks interesting, and we'll be checking out Leviathan's video on the Conquest and such later. Ooh, I called that one out. I hope all your seasonal goals have been met, and all your puzzle rings may be primal. Your Iron Wolf in the South, Sergeant Psycho. But thank you very much. It's been a while since I last heard from you. I'm glad to hear that things are going well, and that they got you training the next generation of Iron Wolves there, and how to use the med supplies. And with that, we have one last thing to go through and check out. and that's going to be Andruis's item of the week. And here is his Sacred Harvester. I went through. This bad boy clocks in at 3,106.9 DPS. Has been re-rolled for the 10% damage, 948 intelligence. The chance to deal 23% area damage, and with a level 75 augment on there. And of course, the secondary with the monster kills grant experience and legendary effect of the Soul Harvester stacking up to 10 times. Oh, and I forgot to hit the transition button, so I was reading that without having the item on the screen. So, there you go. Whoops. Just let that linger there for a second. Linger in shame. And of course I clicked it away while it was still up on screen. Man. Okay. Maybe I did have a little bit more to drink than I thought I did before going through and coming on the episode, because this is definitely a hashtag professional podcast moment, I must say. But yeah. With that, thank you all for going through, reaching out, and also, thank you again to Dread, for that amazing gift, which you can actually see right there when I can do my hand, yeah, right there, in the background, and also thank you for everyone that has reached out. I've gotten a whole bunch of messages, on Twitter, and on Twitch and such. So thank you for all the kind outpouring support. Definitely appreciate that. It was definitely a very emotional episode for me. I still look at that thing, and get teary-eyed, going through and talking about it. That's really cool. And also there's some, potentially really cool things to come from that kind of little interaction as well. So, nothing concrete, nothing to announce yet, but hey, who knows? Stay tuned. Well, we might have some interesting things coming in the future. But with that, we'll draw the episode to a close. I love to hear the thoughts and feedback, from listeners. So please feel free to drop me a line at westmarchworkshop@blizzpro.com. If there's a story, that you'd like to tell, how was your season 17? What are you looking forward to in season 18? Or if you have some, epic items that you want to go through and show off, what's the item that you're most proud of, from season 17 that you'd like to show off? What's the one, like, super badass, perfectly set primal that has even, matched, secondary stats on it that you want to show off? You can also follow the show at the WM Workshop on Twitter. I'm live here every other Wednesday night-ish, at twitch.tv/blizzpro at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. You can always keep an eye on the Twitter account to know when I'm going live, or when we're going to go through and have the show. You can also go through and, follow all the Diablo news that you need over at diablo.blizzpro.com. We're in-game. You can follow us. You can join us at the BlizzPro Clan or the Westmarch Workshop community. And of course, if you want to follow me individually, I'm at NineBallGamer on Twitter or twitch.tv/NineBall. We'll see. I usually can try and force myself to have time to stream the seasonal openers, so maybe I'll stream in a couple weeks? Maybe? Question mark long shot? Can I work that into my schedule long shot? I'm not sure. We'll see. But with that, thank you again for everyone going through and joining me here tonight, or listening to the show if you are you're not listening live. Let's gotta cut it. Who knows? I'm hoping that by the next episode we're gonna have our season launch date and we can go through and talk about that.